It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, co-host of the program, and with my merry band of experts in here, we're going to be bringing you some great programming today. We're talking about things to help you with your shopping as you get closer to Christmas, and Emily Hay will be here with us from her social media site, and also we have a group of young ladies in here who are some of the winners and honorees in a web design contest that's been held by the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. All that and a lot more coming up in the next 2 hours. Welcome. It is so good to be able to join you here on the Internet Advisor on this evening as we're heading towards the holiday season, Christmas coming very soon and all the other holidays. And I'm delighted to introduce you to Mr. Gary Baker, who's been my partner here for, lo, these almost 17 years.
You're still introducing me.
That's something.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Thank amazing. You. And also Mr. Kel Carson, our Mac expert in studio too.
Yes, hermetically sealed for your protection.
Hey, he's not just a Mac expert. He swings both ways.
Ah, that's right. A man who is very capable in both fields. And also Shane Hamlin, who's here as well.
You got me working already. And we've only started, a couple minutes ago?
Shane is tuning something up in the background of their website. But these are the guys who will be in here. And by the way, we have a two-hour program for those of you who may have just kind of wondered, what in the world is the Internet Advisor? Because we're on a little later than we normally are. This is a two-hour program that has been on, as we were saying, for almost 17 years now. And it started out simply as answering people's questions about getting on the Internet, getting around it, and getting over the problems that they found there.
And just like the MSU basketball game today, we're going to crush it.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Exactly. Well, today we got a whole bunch of really neat stuff we're going to be talking about.
That's as long as we get questions from, Arkansas?
Yeah.
How you fix that computer, make it work.
There
like
we
that.
Go. Well, and that's going to be in the second hour. You're going to have an open line, an 800 line we're having open in the second hour that will allow you to get in touch with us and ask your questions about your computers with people who have had a lot of experience and handling computers and solving those problems. We've got Mike Brennan coming up in just a minute. We're going to be bringing him in to talk about MI Tech News, which is a great service that every week delivers headlines galore to you, plus a whole lot of audio resources, absolutely free if you're interested in technology and entrepreneurship, what's going on in the state. Mr. Mike Brennan is the man who is the man of the hour for us, and he's here right now. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor again.
That's really impressive. So,
how you doing, buddy?
Great.
Hey, Mike, it's been so long.
I know. Gary and I went to a basketball game last night.
It was
at a late Chinese dinner in Ann Arbor.
Actually, hockey.
They beat OSU.
Right.
Michigan
beat Ohio State. We can't beat them in football, but we can beat them in hockey.
Get them
fight,
on the ice.
Did a fight break out and a hockey game turn into a basketball game?
No, but one of the something like that. It kind of looked at times like Ohio State was playing basketball because it was an 8-3 game.
Ouch!
And it could have been a lot more than that.
Ooh.
Anyway, it was
mercy,
fun.
Mercy.
It was fun.
All right, Mike.
Great fans.
We've got you here to give us a sampling of the MI Tech News for people who might wonder, what is that and why would I want to have that delivered to my house, to my email every Friday, absolutely free. Let's talk about some of the headlines that you're looking at. One of them, certainly of interest to all of us, is the Michigan House has okayed a new fuel tax, ending sales tax on gas.
Pure politics. It's House Speaker Chase Bulger came up with something that he knew that the Senate and the governor wouldn't go for, and hopes that when they get into the negotiations, that they'll come up with something, because the Republicans want a revenue neutral bill with all the money going to the roads, whereas the Democrats and what's already been passed, some of that money is shared with the schools and other infrastructure projects. So it's philosophical differences. But I'm pretty sure they'll come up with something to fix our really a bad roads.
Yeah. You think it'll happen this year?
Absolutely, yeah. Because if it doesn't happen, the legislature is even more conservative coming in, and a lot of them have a no increased tax pledge and all that jazz. So I think it'll happen in the lame duck session. I think Governor Snyder really wants to get this through.
And even though we really like our technology, not everyone can ride the information superhighway the whole time. So we do need
that. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, boy. Michigan Supreme Court, Appeals Court, implements true filing software. It's kind of interesting that the courts are now getting into
electronic
this.
Records, yeah. So, I mean, electronic filing for this, that, and the other. I mean, we got it with our health records, and now we got it with our court records. They have a beta test up. Kind of getting all the bugs worked out of it, but then come January, it's supposed to go, from this voluntary beginning process into slowly implementing it throughout the court system. So it'll make things a lot more efficient. I'm always concerned about anything, though, with these kinds of records, where the bad guys, the hackers, can get to them.
Oh,
I mean, everybody says, oh, they're going to be safe. Boy, have I heard that before.
Well, the other thing, if the experience in the medical field is any indication, boy, now getting into the legal field, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, but you have to remember, we're starting off with new technology, and like all new technologies, there's going to be bugs and glitches, and until we discover where all those little pitfalls are and be able to fill them up, it's just going to be something new. I think it's great that we're, the more stuff we can digitize, the less paper, the better.
Yeah, less trees die. Let's see, another one of your headlines is Meet Compass, a startup to guide small business marketing.
Yeah, I'd like to claim credit for this, but this is Amanda Luan's story from Michipreneur.com, one of our partners that we've added just recently. And this is a new Detroit website called Compass, and what it does is it matches up freelance web developers with small businesses that don't have a lot of money to spend, but they need a website, and it's sort of a dating service. But, I mean, in the end, they both get a lot out of it. The freelancers get some money out of it, and portfolio chips, and the business gets a great website for a very reasonable price.
Well, folks, you've heard three examples of the kind of things you'll get from politics, something about the technology in our society, and then also help for small businesses. Some of the many things you'll find at MichiganMITechNews.com. Every week, free, simply go to InternetAdvisor.net and subscribe. Well, it's that time of year to shop till you drop, as they say. And we all need a little help with that. I did see one fascinating statistic. Apparently, online shopping this year has just kind of gone through the roof. It's amazing. Cyber Monday came around, and I thought, oh, please, come on. Get over it. I mean, Cyber Monday used to be there. Gary, we talked about it because that's when you would get back to work.
That's right.
And you had the high-speed connections, that you didn't have at home, and you get your shopping done.
Yeah, well, now you shop on your phone from anywhere. Who cares
mobile
where you
shopping,
are? Yeah.
Mobile shopping, I think, represent almost 50% or close to it of the shopping online. And shopping online is up incredibly this year.
Well, the other thing that they did this year, too, is that a lot of the online companies said, we can't do a Black Friday where people can come in and line up outside the door. So let's just offer our stuff over the internet. We'll offer it a day early. What the heck? And we'll beat them to the punch. And, it beats sitting outside in the cold forever. And, hey, they bring it right to the door.
Speaking of bringing it right to the door, we've got Emily Hay with us here from Hey There Social Media. How you doing, Emily?
Hi, Foster. I'm good. How are you guys all doing?
Good.
Hey, Emily.
Good to have you here with us, this rowdy crew. We've got a little bit of class here, guys. And Emily...
She always brings class
to
this.
She does.
Oh,
yeah. Emily, we've been talking about online shopping and how popular it's become. Even more so. Just keeps on booming. You've got some tips on how to use something. I was fascinated when I saw this. How to use Instagram to instantly shop. How do you? I thought Instagram was for taking pictures.
Sure. Well, you guys were talking about how popular shopping online has been, but we tend to only think of the big box shops. You really only think the big companies, the mall stores, those are the companies that are going to be selling online.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing happening is that you can buy from local retailers using social media. So on Instagram in particular, you're right, there's still plenty of selfies and food pictures that are taken on Instagram. But small business owners in particular are taking pictures of the items that they make. They're sharing them on Instagram, and they're doing all kinds of cool things to be able to sell.
That is really neat. I know the theme that you have, and by the way, folks, we have links to the two stories we're going to talk about here on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. They will take you to Emily's homepage, which is Hey There Social Media, and you can see these two articles, shop instantly on Instagram. And it's kind of neat because your common theme here is shop local.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I love that.
So Lisa Alberts on Hey There Social Media's team, she put together this Instagram post, and it talks about things like flash sales. So if you're following some local artisans or some local makers, they might have a few extra items that they take a picture of, post it on Instagram, and say, the first person to want to buy this gets it 50% off.
Whoa.
And in order to conduct that transaction, the Instagram post will say, just give us your email address for your PayPal, and we'll invoice you. And if you don't pay within the hour, we're putting it back up for sale. So these small business owners, these local artisans, can be really nimble by using Instagram.
How secure is the paying over Instagram, Emily?
Well, I should clarify. Remember, you're not actually conducting the transaction through Instagram.
Right.
All the communication and bartering is on Instagram, and then you're paying through PayPal.
Right. So you do have the security of PayPal. But
yes.
the telling the story of what's up for sale, and this, how is it working, by the way, so far?
Well, it's not only working well for, like I said, these local makers, but of course it's working online. But what we're seeing happening is that it's connecting people offline as well. So if you, for example, there's this business called Orikami Organics.
Mm-hmm.
And she's based in Ferndale, and she has all kinds of cool organic items for babies, and I particularly follow her.
That's funny how that is.
So, I know. So I discovered her through Instagram, but then I found out that she sells at the Rust Belt Market in Ferndale. So I can go shop in person when I'm not buying from her on Instagram. So it's pretty cool.
That is nice. The Rust Belt is right at 9 Mile and Woodward, I think. And it's
exactly.
An old Navy building that's been kind of hollowed out. And then people have... It's like, what do you want to say, almost like a flea market where you have small businesses.
Pop-up stores or something.
There you
something,
go, pop-up stores. Yep. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's so neat. So you've got almost pop-up stores on the internet, and then you're moving them inside of a building. That is a really cool combo. Now,
yeah, it's really neat for the small business owners. And, of course, the big brands, you know, in the post you'll see there's a screenshot from Nordstrom. You know, Nordstrom has a picture of some cool slippers next to some eggs and bacon, and you can click a link in the picture to see... where the slippers are back on the Nordstrom website. But remember, Nordstrom is like the big box shop, and then the local guys are more flexible.
Yeah, I do like that. Okay, so let's talk about the other aspect of this, which is the other article that you referred to there, which is how to shop locally on Etsy.
Yeah, have you ever bought anything on Etsy?
No, tell me what Etsy is. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, so Etsy is a marketplace for local makers, really all over the world. But the cool thing, I think the original word came from et cetera, so then Etsy became the business name. But we think of local makers, but still, if you want to shop local, you probably want to shop local in your own backyard. So Etsy, if you just go to Etsy.com, you know, going through mm-hmm. Internet Advisor's site, there's a shop local tool. So just like anything else, if you say, I'm looking for something within a particular zip code or city,
right.
then it'll narrow down your search, and you'll really be able to support local makers in Southeast Michigan.
I love that. Now, when you say local makers, these would be like artisans we're talking about
sure.
in particular?
Yep. Some things I've purchased on Etsy, I purchased a father-son, actually, you know, baby boy and father matching bow tie set. You can get monogrammed linen napkins. I mean, anything that's just locally crafted, wine charms. It's just things that you would expect to go to a flea market or go to a local boutique to buy. But Etsy gives those local makers an e-commerce platform.
I know, Shane, you, because you're running a local shop with computers, this must be close to your heart here to see somebody encouraging people to shop local.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, how can I take advantage of this? You know,
I think a bow tie would look good on you.
Well, this post about the shopping Etsy that you can see through Internet Advisor's site, and this was put together by a local maker, Sarah Doty, and her shop is Folk and Pharaoh Studio. So she's on Etsy, she's on Twitter, and the cool thing, again, connecting online with offline, you can find these local makers in Southeast Michigan through Etsy, buy their items, and then there's actually Facebook groups with these sellers. So if you want to find out where are you having a pop-up shop or where will you be during this holiday season, you can go see these people in person after meeting them online.
Now, a quick question. Emily Hay, by the way, is with us. She's our social media expert, and her site is Hey There Social Media. Emily, we have affiliates, of course, who are listening to us as well. And the western part of the state, is this beyond Southeast Michigan or only Southeast Michigan?
Oh, it's definitely beyond Southeast Michigan.
Good, you can, good.
Yep. Any person, anywhere. If, let's say your hometown is Cleveland, Ohio, wink, wink. you can say, I'd like to just buy from local makers in that city.
Wonderful.
So it's, yeah, all over the place.
So we have people listening in Grand Rapids and Lansing and
So it's kind of like Craigslist for local buying.
Definitely. All kinds of really cool creative items. I don't think it's as sketchy as Craigslist can be at times, but I would encourage...
You don't have to meet somebody in a parking lot someplace.
No, it's not as sketchy, but I would encourage all of you guys, especially as you're looking for who do I need to buy something unique for this year,
yes.
If you shop on Etsy for them, you'll come up with things you never would have thought existed, and they'll probably be impressed that you even knew to go to the site in the first place.
Yeah, well, I think it's very good. It says a world about how you give your gifts as well. You know, you could obviously go to some big place and get a top ticket item. But then
everybody has one of those, and they, you know, bought them from wherever. So this is one where you can get one of a kind or a few.
Absolutely
of a kind.
Unique.
So for you folks out there listening, Gary's looking for a bow tie.
I don't think my son would wear the other one. I just don't think so.
So other than the bow tie, what have been some of the things that you've hunted down on either the Instagram or the Etsy sites?
Well, sure. On Etsy, I found a local artisan that makes all kinds of mitten T-shirts, you know, with different Michigan phrases. And you can ask them to, maybe you have an inside joke with a family member and you think, oh, I'd like to get a little custom T-shirt or a baby onesie, made for Christmas. So those are some cool things. Again, you can't go wrong looking up things for hostesses,
marvelous.
Wine charms, anything like that. It's,
marvelous.
It's endless.
You've done it again, Emily. Thank you so much. Emily Hay from Hey There Social Media. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll find links to both of these sites, shopping instantly on Instagram and also shopping locally with Etsy. And that's our theme, shop locally and help the local economies. And thank you so much, Emily, for helping us do that.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Back in just a moment to talk to some very talented young ladies. I hope that you're enjoying this little visit with the Internet Advisor. We have a two-hour program here in case you've just kind of bumped into us. My name is Foster Brown. Gary Baker and Cal Carson and Shane Hamlin are with us in studio, our experts. And in our second hour, they're going to be playing a key role answering your questions when you call us at 800-859-0957. That'll be starting at 6 o'clock. But for the remainder of this hour, we are very, very proud to have some very talented young ladies in studio with us. Over the years, Gary, you and I have been, I guess because we both have raised very strong-minded, talented young women in our families. We've always been great supporters of the Michigan Council of Women in Technology.
That's right.
And we're delighted to introduce right now Barb Kalbfleisch, who is the K-12 coordinator for the Michigan Council of Women in Technology Foundation. And a very special event has taken place today. Barb, thank you so much for joining us. You don't have to worry about buttons. They're being pushed for you.
Oh, thank you, Foster. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, the big event, as a matter of fact, the judging took place today, and we have some very special people in the studio. But why don't you talk a little bit about the whole contest that took place today?
The Michigan Council of Women in Technology, our belief is that we need to make Michigan the number one state for women having careers in technology. In order
Amen.
To do that, we have to start young.
Yep.
The MCWT, this is our ninth annual website design competition for high school girls. Today was final. So we had 24 finalist teams, 12 beginner level, 12 advanced level.
I think we have the picture of all the young ladies.
That's last year's winners.
Oh, was that last year's winners?
We just took today's winners.
Not yet.
Look for that in a couple days. So today was the competition. We had seven judges from major corporations, including, well, I don't want to name all seven.
There was many of them. Microsoft was one of them.
And Microsoft was one of them, yes, Comerica.
Yeah, some of your longtime sponsors, right?
Yes.
And it's because they believe in the same thing that the Michigan Council for Women in Technology believes, right? We need a good, strong IT workforce, and that includes having many, many women in that workforce.
By the way, folks, I hope you don't think we're ignoring men in this. And I had to make a point of this. There's been a real deficit of women in technology. It's strange because in the 90s, the mid-90s, there were quite a few of them there.
The percentage was going up,
yeah.
And now the percentage is going back down a little bit. And we've got to change that, don't we, Barb?
We're here to fix that.
That's part of what you're here to fix. Okay, so you have the web design competition, and this year was titled Repurposing the Ultimate in Creativity and Recycling. Now, we have a drum roll here. Do we have a drum roll back there? We'll see if we can get a drum roll. We have a couple of the winners of the honorees who are with us right now. Let me introduce them. Christina Lee, thank you very much for being here with us. Christina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Now, tell us what category. There was advanced and beginners, and you were in the...
I was in the advanced category.
Okay.
And so what makes you in the advanced category? What's the difference between that and the beginners?
Well, we got to choose ourselves, but... basically, it's between whether you have experience in computer science or not.
Okay.
And since I've done work in computer science, especially with robotics and wearable technology, I decided to go to the advanced category.
Now, you're from the Utica Center for Math, Science, and Technology.
Yes.
Wow. That sounds really impressive. Now, is that its own high school or a part of a high school
system? It's a half-day program. In the first half of the day, I go to Stevenson High School. And then the second half of the day, I go to the Utica Center for Math, Science,
That's
Technology.
Okay, Shane. You can go, rah, rah, rah.
That's right. That's my home school.
All right. That's cool. So the second part of the day, then, you're concentrating on this. That is really neat. What year are you in now?
I'm in junior year right now.
You're in your junior year. Okay,
And it says site 175. How many sites were there? Do we know, Barb?
We had 105 entries.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And our host makes us start at 100.
I see. That's great.
Now, we link that site, so you can see that site. And describe your site for just a little bit. Now, but first of all, you won a very prestigious honor in that. What was that?
I won first place.
Congratulations.
Wow. Now we need a drum roll or at least
And claps. Barb, what went with winning first place?
Two things. $750.
Wow.
And Comerica gives the top winner a paid summer internship in its IT department.
So you're going to be busy this summer, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
And it's a paid internship.
Yes.
Marvelous. That's fantastic. Now, I want to quickly, we're going to come back to you and talk a little bit about your websites, but we have another honoree with us, and that is Lakeitha Nimigata. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Was I close on the name?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad. Now, Lakeitha, you are from Farmington Harrison, right?
That's correct.
What year are you in?
I am a sophomore.
You're a sophomore there, but you were in the advanced group.
Yes, I was. I took a web design course last year, my freshman year at school.
Okay, so that made you, you're up in the pros. Okay, all right.
Like to think that.
I like it. Okay, and by the way, we link off to your site as well. Now, you got an honorable mention, right?
That's correct, yes.
And what's behind the door for honorable mentions, Barbara?
$75 at the advanced level.
That's neat. I'm glad that you got that. Now, we're going to come back to talk about this, but have you been able to follow, this is the ninth year you've done this, have you been able to follow any of the girls as they've gone on?
Some of them have gone on to win our MCWT scholarship.
Mm-hmm. That's
$20,000.
And we've had a number of those winners on over the years.
Yes. In fact, one of the girls that won 3 years ago is one of our scholarship recipients now, and she's at the University of Michigan studying computer
science. That's fantastic.
In fact, she was on this show a couple years ago.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yep. So this is kind of a stepping stone, girls. You know, this is just the first step, and we expect you to see you back here. To receive honors for some of the other stuff coming down the road. That is marvelous, Barb. So this is And it's not just kind of a one-off contest here, but it's part of a bigger plan to help these girls to kind of cement and encourage them in the path that they're going on right now.
MCWT calls it the life cycle. Get them young, middle school, work with them through high school, nurture them through college with financial aid and internships, and then when they're ready for their career, our partners, our MCWT partners, are there to hire them.
You've also done things for people in graduate school, too, if I remember correctly.
We do have a graduate-level scholarship for women studying IT at the graduate level.
By the way, guys, there's some really cool hardware out there with the big winners. They got these cool laptops, am I right? For some of the honorees.
Some of the scholarship winners get nice Dell laptops with a lot of Microsoft software on it. Yes,
got
they
two
do.
Plugs in that yes. sentence.
Yeah.
Two plugs in
well,
one.
Here's, and here's a third one. Chrysler today came to the competition and announced it is giving $15,000 worth of scholarships to MCWT.
Wow.
So we will have
right,
five
great.
Chrysler Thank Foundation you, Chrysler. Scholarship winners this coming year.
Okay, that's, now I am going to get back to you girls to talk about your individual sites, but let's just talk for a minute about how can a parent who's listening right now saying, you know, I'd really like to have my daughter involved in a program like this to encourage her to go on in technology and not to be kind of, you know, pushed out by this is not cool for girls kind of thing. How would a parent get involved with this or get a child involved?
They can start with mcwt.org.
Okay.
And look on our foundation tab. And those are our programs. We have summer camps for middle school girls and one-day extravaganzas with a technology theme. And we're one of the sponsors of EMU's Digital Divas this year as well.
That oh, really?
Event, yes.
That is
so
cool.
A couple different things. First of all, about a month ago at the North American International Cyber Summit, one of the former winners came up to me and said, do you remember me? I said, of course, you were on a radio show. And she said, yes, that's right. And I said, what are you doing? She's got a job. She's, I can't. Well, I was. I'll go ahead and tell you. She got hired for like $80,000. I said, "You what?
Ooh,
this is like
sweet.
This is your what fourth or fifth job?" She goes, "This is my first job out of school."
Oh man!
And she's in security. I'll tell you what. We do not have enough IT workers at all. So
no.
the salaries have been going up.
Yeah, they have been
for everybody. But for women in technology, the salaries are really going up because there's not enough women in technology today. And it's just amazing why, if you have any aptitude at all and kind of like science and or kind of like math, man, there's a job out there just waiting for you.
Here's a jump ball for you. Not being sexist about this, but what do you think is unique that women bring to technology? Girls, you can chime in on this if you'd like to. Christina?
Other than just being really smart and organized.
Do you think there's something special that they bring to it?
I think they bring their special strength that even though they're in a job that is somewhat male-dominated, mm-hmm. they bring their strength because they know they can do it, they can get somewhere, and they'll persevere to get where they want to.
No, but just being there and being in a field that is male-dominated, at least, the fact that they're there means they're going to persevere. What do you think, Christine?
Well, I think that women like bringing people together, and especially when you're working on a team with like a guy lead, sometimes you can get very... like a woman's voice often isn't heard. So when other women come into the field, it encourages more people to come in.
That's a very good point. So that's interesting. You found that when men are in charge, it's kind of hard for everybody to get their voice heard. But when a woman's in charge and there are other women involved, everybody gets, a team really gets built.
It's Those really changing rapidly, though.
Two?
It really is because they're so focused. It's
I love
wonderful.
It. Hey,
and they do collaborate better.
Back in just a minute, we're going to talk with Christina and Lakeitha about their websites and how they develop them. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. By the way, if this is the first time you've kind of bumped into us, we are here on a regular basis on Saturday afternoons and evenings, shifting around a little bit with the sports scene during the winter months. We have our faithful band here every week, and we have a podcast that's published every week as well. So even though we may not appear live on WJR or at the same time, you can always catch our program every week at internetadvisor.net. You'll find the podcast listed there, and you can hear all of the program. We break it down into segments, too, so you can listen to just a single segment, or you can listen, for instance, to the whole second hour where we'll be answering your questions. All that on internetadvisor.net. And by the way, you can also put your own questions to us during the week by simply going to internetadvisor.net and then clicking on the Contact Us button. Now, in studio with us today are some of the winners of the Michigan Council of Women in Technology website, a web design contest. And we have Christina Lee and Lakeitha Nimbagada, who is with are with us. Christina is from the Utica Center for Math, Science, and Technology, and Stevenson, right? Yeah, right. Shane's nodding his head.
That's right. Stevenson. Go, Stevenson. Okay. Go, Titans.
And Lakeitha is here from Farmington Harrison. Are you in a special program there as well, Lakeitha?
Yeah, I'm in the IB program that was started 4 years ago.
What is that?
It's basically a program. It stands for International Baccalaureate, and it's where the curriculum is the same for people all over the world. And so you take these classes, which is year-round, for 2 years, and you take IB tests, and if you get a certain score on these tests, you're eligible for, it's kind of like AP, you get college credit.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. If you do the extended essay and CAS hours, which are like community service hours, you can get a diploma, which is nationally recognized.
Wow, that
and,
is very
and
nice.
And what grade are you in?
I'm a sophomore.
You're a sophomore.
Yeah.
In college?
Soon enough, Dad, right? Oh Soon gosh. Enough, the bills will start coming, right? Oh the dads are here in the studio.
I think this is a scholarship award winner we have right here.
Exactly. One, yeah. Well, speaking of that, we have Barb Kalfleisch, who is with us. She is the K-12 coordinator for the Michigan Council of Women in Technology Foundation. And you must be very proud of these young ladies.
It's so exciting.
Isn't
and
it neat?
Every year, they get better and better and better.
Yeah, it must also... I think as a woman, you must have a certain sense of pride to see what this is doing for these young women and the boost that it gives them.
And not just that, the men that support MCWT,
there are a lot
they are
too.
Just yeah. as proud. Two of our judges yeah. today were male, mm-hmm. and they just are so proud.
Popping their buttons, they're proud.
Yes, yeah. they are.
I want to talk to you young ladies about the sites that you put together. And by the way, folks, if you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, you'll find links off to each one of these. Christina, let's talk about yours. And by the way, you are the grand prize winner, right?
Yes.
First place right. in the advanced division. And the theme was repurposing, the ultimate in creativity and recycling. First of all, when you heard that, what came to your mind?
I was a bit confused because I wasn't exactly sure what it meant, but after yeah. Googling it a little, I just imagined it to mean sort of like DIY and
do it yourself.
Yeah.
Right now. Okay.
So, like to create a project from something you already have around the house.
Now, what did my understanding that the rules of this thing were you couldn't use any outside sources like templates and things like that? Am I
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we couldn't use any templates at all, and we had to Whoa. Write the code up from scratch.
You had to do the code yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Had you ever done that before?
I've worked with HTML and CSS, which HTML is basically the information part of a website, and
right,
then the CSS
right.
is the styling. And I've worked with those two before on several projects in the past, but I've never used jQuery before. jQuery is a JavaScript library, which basically animates the page and makes it interactive.
You've got some incredible animation in this thing. I love how... Folks, you got to see this thing to believe it. I mean, you've got some video in there mm-hmm. that is going as well. As some great stills that are part of the background on this thing. How is it interacting?
And the repurposing of the socks to make snowmen.
I love that.
I love the two little snowmen that kind of cuddle up to the first one. I thought that was really cute. The problem at our house, or at least with my socks, is I wouldn't know where to hide the holes.
You know, in my house, there is an alternate dimension that most of the socks disappear into. Maybe you got to tap into that. So how did you come up with these particular kind of concepts for this?
Well, for the design, I really wanted to make something simple and clean so people won't have to read a bunch of text.
I like that.
So for the project pages, I actually have slideshows instead of just having text and then pictures next to each other, so everything is condensed into one part of the site.
I really like that whole concept of not having a lot of text, but a lot of visual elements with a little bit of information down below as well. Now, this is all yours. You did this whole thing yourself?
Yeah,
there
yeah.
wasn't a team working on this?
No, it's just me.
No help from Dad? No, he's shaking his head. No. Would Dad be able to help you with this?
Probably not.
Yeah, it couldn't either.
I was going to say, Dad's like, I don't know what the
heck. I don't know what she really? Did, but it's really good. Yeah.
yeah.
This Only is marvelous. This is absolutely marvelous.
Thank you.
And what was it about this, Barb, do you think, when the judges looked at this, that made it stand out as the best out there?
Top 12 advanced finishers, finalists, have to give a presentation to the judge. So part of today's scoring was on their oral presentation.
Okay.
And we tell them, tell the judges what they can't see.
Ah.
The judges want to hear about their experience, what they learned, what they hated, what they were shocked by, what was the hardest, what was the easiest.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the oral presentation was very important.
So what did you hate?
Well, I didn't work with the navigation bar before. Like, I've never tried to integrate links and, like, images right behind it. So for the navigation bar, everything lines up, but that actually took me a while to do. And I had to use different units to line everything up with Google Chrome's developer tools to figure everything out.
Honey, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. You've got the visual elements, the toolbar you're talking about is absolutely fascinating. I want to quickly shift over because, Lakeitha, I want to talk about your site because yours is a little bit different. And yours has a lot more text to it. But explain your site to me, and what was it about it that made it unique?
Well, what I think what makes my site unique is that the banner at the top, Operation Save Our Planet, which is we wanted to inspire people to take part in repurposing, not only for themselves, but for the good of the planet itself, because repurposing helps make the planet a safer place mm-hmm. environmentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now your toolbar, for instance, when I click on water bottles, for instance, I get a page then that talks about and some pictures about different things you can do with water bottles. Is that the idea? Well, the idea was to give people examples of things they could do with things?
The idea was to inspire people to come up with ideas of their own.
Ah.
So not necessarily copy what we have or modify what we have. So all three of our ideas, water bottles, coats, and yoga mats, they're all based on things we saw around our school, Harrison. Me and my partner thought, why not just bring our school into this and show what's already been done so people can have an idea of what more they can do.
Now, Rafia was your partner, right?
Yes, Rafia.
Rafia, pardon me. Okay, Rafia. And this is at Harrison High School, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you have a partner, by the way, Christina, and yours?
No, I worked by myself on this one.
Okay. So. What were the rules?
Scoring is the same. Girls can choose solo or with a team.
Oh, cool.
Two.
Okay.
They're judged identically.
Why did you bring a partner in, Lakeitha?
Because I thought I only took one web design class last year. I wasn't very experienced in this. So I thought, why not have someone to help me and we can work together? So I picked Rafia. She's a senior this year in the IB program. So I thought, experience, yay.
I love it. So what did you bring? What was your unique contribution?
I brought most of the code and the Photoshop elements because I found that really fun, and it was a challenge, but I like challenges.
I love it. Ladies, I want to congratulate you again, Christina Lee. You are the winner in the advanced segment. Thank you very much for being with us. It's been a delight having you here.
Thank you.
Lakeitha Nimigana, thank you so much for being here, and the best to you. We expect to see you next year.
Thank you, of course.
All right, and Barb Kauflisch, thank you, and thank MCWT for all the work that they do.
I sure will.
And
thanks,
helping these
Foster.
Young ladies.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, folks, here we go. We have hour number two coming up, and that's your hour. The number is 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. It's toll-free. Get on the phone right now and start lining up because we're going to have Gary and Cal and Shane and myself. We're going to be standing by to answer your questions about your computer. Something that's bothering you with your computer, causing you concern, want to get over it? Give us a call. And hour number two. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. Welcome to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. The number is 800-859-0957. Call right now, and our team will be ready to answer your questions for the next hour. It's all yours at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor, on deck to help you. Give us a call right now, 800-859-0957. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown. With me to my left, your right, is Mr. Gary Baker, our co-host for many years here. Also, Mr. Cal Carson is in studio. Good to see you, Cal.
good to be seen and not viewed.
And Shane. Hey, Shane Hamlin, good to have you here.
Hey.
Shane, you've been working hard in this holiday season. I imagine your shop out there in Sterling Heights has been busy, I would guess.
Busy. I mean, tons of viruses. They're everywhere. Everywhere.
Which of the virus? No, we should say, just is a little bit of background here, folks. In hour number two, we take your calls and answer your questions about your computers. And just think of it this way. It's like Shane has a shop out there in 18 Mile near Shaner. 19 in Shaner. And you could stop by there, or you could simply call in right now, and he could help you with the virus that may be attacking your machine or whatever problems you got. 800-859-0957. First come, first served. And by the way, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
And we're not saying you shouldn't stop out and see him, because he doesn't bite.
Even if you want to just hang out and geek out with me, you know, we've got Leo up on the big screen.
I love it.
You know, all day, Twit TV, and we're just hanging out, you know. I mean, we're working, but we're, you know, come hang out.
So what are the viruses that you are seeing?
Well, I'll tell you what. Most viruses, I'd say 99% of them I can fix. But the crypto wall is really hurting people bad.
Crypto wall?
Crypto wall. It encrypts your data.
Oh.
It holds its ransom. It's a form of ransomware. Yep. But you know what? It's been around for a while, but I'm really seeing it a lot. I'm seeing it at least once or twice a week now.
Really? So it's hitting us again? Because it hit for a while, and then I thought people were getting their arms around and protecting themselves from it. Not so much anymore, eh?
And I hate to tell you this. It's once you're infected, there's no cure for it. There's no,
really?
There's only one way to stop it, and that's backup. We always say backup,
please.
backup.
Immediately.
Yeah. Have a backup, you know, either cloud or, you know, yeah, externally.
Probably two or three backups, yeah, is safest.
And you know, I've literally, and this is no joke, I have people break down in tears in my store because of this virus.
Actually, there is a small salvation, I should say, not a complete cure for it, but if you recognize that you have this cryptovirus, immediately, if you kill your computer, turn it off, then that'll stop it from encrypting all your files that's going on. And then if you get in contact with someone like Shane or another computer repair person, if they take that hard drive out of the machine, put it into an external drive bay, they can go in and start pulling off some of your files to be able to salvage some of them
If you haven't backed up already.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, Cal, I know it's your, and folks, this is something we have said from beginning of the program, is backup, backup, backup. I'm just curious, how many backups do you have, Shane?
I have three.
Okay, Cal?
I have at least three.
Okay, Gary?
Well, for most of my important stuff, one.
Okay.
And for photos and things like that, I have most of those too, because I back up locally as well as into the cloud.
I do the same thing.
But otherwise, I just back up into the cloud. And the reason I do that is because Microsoft, I use Office 365. I don't have to use two or three. They do it. They back up my data three times in three different places. Wow. Right?
Is that with OneDrive?
Yes, it's called OneDrive.
It's called OneDrive, right?
You know, knock on wood, they've never had a problem, right?
Yep.
And
so
it's
wonderful.
And it's Microsoft, and they know that if they ever have a problem, it's really bad.
Yeah, if you're an Office 365...
They make sure they don't.
You're an Office 365 subscriber, you have more than a terabyte.
Well, it's unlimited.
It's unlimited. That's what I'm saying. It's unlimited, practically speaking. And with Apple, on our Macs, we have...
you get 5 gig free, and then you can start buying in 20 gig and 100 gig increments after that.
And Apple's the same way. I mean, they are so... If they ever have a problem, if they ever lose your data, if they ever have a breach, it's really bad. So they go all out to make sure they hire the better people than... You know, then we can, because it can hire more of them.
Yeah,
and that's just
key moral here
to be able to trust them.
The key moral is, folks, if you get hit by crypto or whatever, if you've got backup, it doesn't matter, because you can scrub that machine right back to factory conditions and you're ready to go. Let's go to Joe from Tecumseh, Michigan. Joe, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Good evening, gents.
Hey, Joe.
I'm on the road right now on a contract, and the apartment that I'm using has limited intranet access. Mm-hmm. And so what are my options for giving me a little Wi-Fi hotspot that I can plug in the USB and get online.
So do you have a cell phone?
Yes, I do.
And with AT&T or Verizon?
Nope.
Okay. Who's it with?
Sprint.
Okay, Sprint has hotspots too. I know that it's included in the price for the first two that I mentioned, AT&T or Verizon. I think it is for Sprint and T-Mobile as well, but I can't I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know Cal or?
I don't know. I don't know specifically. I use Sprint, but you know, I've never really used their hotspots ever.
T-Mobile is.
Yeah.
It depends on your phone, but you know, my phone will do it. Another thing is if you have Comcast at home.
Well, he's on the road.
No. I understand that. But Comcast now is starting to spread their network for you to be on the road.
I'm sorry. You'll see it come up as Xfinity. You'll see it come up as Xfinity,
right? What they're doing is everyone's getting the new modems now, and they're sending them out, and that's having the guest account for.
That's right.
And it's spreading. I'm seeing it spread a lot more.
Right. Joe, what we're talking about is that are you a Comcast customer?
We have Comcast for our provider, yes.
Well, now, there you go.
Yeah.
Because what he's saying is, Shane, am I right on this, is that the new modems that Comcast is putting out actually become a mesh network.
Correct.
So that no matter where you are, you've got other people on that same network. Joe, hang on a second. We're going to come back to you. We're going to do a little noodling here ourselves and see if we can figure some other things to help you out. But it's a very good question, especially for road warriors like yourself. Hey, if you've got a question to ask, here's the number, 800-859-0957. And remember, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. We'd love to hear from you, 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor is on the air for you. By the way, I'm delighted that you've had a chance to listen to us today. And for those who are on our affiliates, thank you very much for bringing us into your homes and cars. And by the way, throughout the week, if you have a question, our experts are on hand to take your questions, email. We receive them all week long, and we get down and take a look at them and give you some advice there by simply going to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, and then going into the Contact Us button. Put your information in there, send us your question, and we'll get back to you as quick as we can. All right, let's get back out to Joe in Tecumseh. Joe, one last thing that Cal came up with I wanted to get to you. Joe's on the road. He's a road warrior, and he's having some challenges getting good access to Wi-Fi, and here's a suggestion.
Yeah, Joe, since you are a Comcast customer, what you can do is if you go to comcast.com/Wi-Fi, that will give you a website where you can actually go in and put in an address where you're at, and it will locate all of the Comcast Wi-Fi services that are near that area that you can tap into as a Comcast customer.
Sweet. So, okay. Joe?
I would have to probably upgrade my service then, or is that...
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Because you're a subscriber at home.
Yeah, I'm a subscriber at home, and for instance, I was someplace where suddenly, boom, it pops up as Xfinity, is what it's called.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when you try to enter in, it says, okay, put in your email and your password, and then, boom, you're into the system.
Now, do you get your internet from Comcast?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Then, yeah, you're in Fat City. You can just go nuts.
The other thing with your Sprint phone, depending on the phone, it says, you can turn on your hotspot. It's free. It doesn't cost any additional amount of money, and you have a fair amount of data that you can get relatively cheaply. Especially if you're a Verizon customer or an AT&T customer, you can take your bill to Sprint and they'll cut it in half. Since you're already a Sprint customer, I'm not sure. I think you're already there. But that
is a great idea. For instance,
their LTE service is faster than your Comcast service.
Wow.
Right? So if you're streaming media, then you want to be careful of your cell bill.
I'm trying to cover my emails of stuff. I'm a church organization leader down here, and I get stuff I have to respond to and put out postings to the members and stuff. So
yeah, that's such a small amount of bandwidth. You'll barely make a blip.
No, I'm just wondering, don't you have a smartphone that you can just use your data plan to grab your email?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
I got the dumb phone.
It's what I thought, yeah.
Okay,
see?
All right, so you have to have a smartphone.
I'm tired of pop-ups, especially the end-of-service XP pop-up that I can't get rid of.
Yeah.
So with a smartphone, you have a personal hotspot, and you can just turn that on and use your computer to connect to your phone and your phone to connect to the system.
Step up to the new technology, but thanks for giving us a call. All right, again, our number 800-859-0957. Let's head to Steve, who is in Wyandotte. Steve, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello. I've got a question in regards to a Windows Media Player.
Okay.
In light of the fact that it's not being used on Windows 8.1 and such, what do you recommend to use in its place?
Oh, that's a good question. A very good question.
That would be a Shane question, I think.
Shane is looking.
Well, you know, there's a couple of choices. You could also download Apple's QuickTime Player from their website for Windows.
Sure,
you could use that if you wanted to. I think Real Player may still be out there, and then VLC is always a good choice.
VLC, Windows Media, I haven't used Windows Media Player in so long because I've got it all built into my, my Xbox and my PS3s. They're all my media servers, so they have different ways of streaming my media straight from my computer. So
I'm trying to think of it because I'm looking at the I'm on Surface, which Gary has got as well.
Yep.
And I believe that if you go to the music, I think that is the one that you use to get on. Don't you, Shane? I don't listen to music an awful lot on my computer, to be honest with you.
Traversity is actually one that I use that is a media player. Traversity. It's a media center for just about anything. It'll play your movies.
Spell that again.
It's TV.
TV.
Capital T, capital V. Then everything else is lowercase, which is ERSIT. T-Y.
TV. Okay. I see. T-versity. Okay. Is that .com or?
it is .com. Mm-hmm. And that's a great media player. I actually use that because it streams very well to my PS4 or PS3.
Mm.
Streams very nice.
Okay.
If I want to take all my media stuff and dump it into something like T-versity, I wouldn't have a problem then.
Yeah, it will bypass a lot of security encryptions on some of the videos that you might want to watch too.
And you can get you can download Windows Media Center from Microsoft's site for Windows 8. So you can do that.
Okay. It
doesn't come with it, I don't believe. I think you download it.
Is there a Media Center?
It's called Windows Media Center you download?
Yeah, just go to Microsoft and search for Windows Media Player and Windows Media Center pops up.
Yeah, and it says it has Windows Media Player 12.
Mm-hmm.
It says it's included with the Windows 8.1 and Windows 8.1 Pro, but it doesn't include a DVD playback.
Yeah.
But they do have a link on there where you can go and pull down that codec for it.
Yeah. And the reason it doesn't include the DVD playback is there's no DVD player on the
that's true.
Or that on the Surface anyway.
Or you could get an external one and put it in through the USB if you wanted to do that.
And if Cal, you were to burn me a copy of a movie and all the protection on it, if you were to just play it through your media center or through your Xbox, your PS2 or 3 or 4,
right.
It will the sound will stop and say, hey, this isn't a legitimate copy, and you'd get those warnings and you wouldn't be able to watch it. Well, with Traversity, it bypasses it.
Oh, okay, good. That's really good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, by the way, for the folks who have legally copied it.
That's
for
right.
instance, for their own purposes. They want to make another copy for
an archival backup that you have for your own personal use.
Yeah,
for example, I went out and spent $20 on Frozen. I'm not going to let my 3-year-old use the original one. I'll make a copy. They can beat the heck out of that. And when it's dead, I'll make another copy.
That's
and give
a
it to
very
them.
Good example,
right.
example of why that is something is very legitimate to use. All right, have we answered your question, Steve?
Yes, you have. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. That's an excellent question to ask.
Yeah,
okay, again, 800-859-0957. Now, Gary, am I right? Did you see that the Windows Media Center or Media Player is involved if it's Windows 8.1 Pro?
I think that it's... Well, here it says that it's included with RT as well.
With RT as well?
Oh, it is not. It is not.
I didn't think so. I think
it isn't available.
You're
right, and I remember that too.
Yeah.
So I just, you and I both have the Pro, so I don't pay as much attention to RT.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why they ever released RT, actually. But
that is a good question. What they're planning on doing with that is another question as well.
I think it belongs with Vista, and there's a couple other Windows
Well, up until recently, what's interesting, just a little sideline on that, and Shane, you know more about the I think mechanics behind this, but I heard that initially it was because RT worked on smaller devices with the Atom processors, mm-hmm. which were lighter weight, am I right? And were able, they were better suited for that kind of thing.
Correct.
But Intel now has produced its own line mm-hmm. of those lighter weight processors. And so it's, RT is, it can be run on almost anything now.
It can. I mean, I think the reason RT came out the way it was is it was a very simplified version of Windows that we weren't going to overcomplicate things for people.
Right.
Get online, search the web, do your email. That's about it. And that's what they wanted.
Right.
Not, you know, install this printer. And, you know,
oh, Lord,
I made
yes.
that mistake. I sold my wife an RT and it didn't work.
No! Yeah. Oh, crunch.
For the medical records.
Quickly, what is selling well at your shop? Comtech Services, by the way, and Shaner?
19 and Shaner.
19 and Shaner.
Correct. You know what? It's a variety of everything. I mean, it's funniest thing is we're selling a ton of, you know, laptops and tablets and desktops even. You know, I think people are wanting more. They don't want just the tablet or the phone. They want their desktop still
yeah.
for certain things.
Right.
And they want their laptop because they can't do the things on their tablet they want. I mean, they're buying still all three devices.
Yeah. Well, so, and the nice thing is they can buy what they need or yeah. want or think they want. Yeah. Right?
Hey, Joan yeah. Livonia, we're going to pick you up after the break. But I'm curious to ask you afterwards if people yeah. are as afraid of Windows 8.1 as they have been in the past. 800-859-0957. That's your number. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Kel Carson, and Shane Hamlin in studio here. A whole lot of experience in handling computers, and it's at your service for a little less than the next half hour, 800-859-0957. By the way, you don't have to have some hugely technical question to ask us. It's your opportunity to ask the simplest question you've got in the box or the yeah. most complicated
and
one.
We've got a better chance of answering it if it's simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple minds, yes.
All right, let's go to Joe in Livonia. Joe, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I need $1 million in a warm, sunny place.
See, what was that island?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one we can't
right
help
along.
You with. How about something?
I can help him. In Key West, there's a palm tree on a beach 3 degrees to the left of a Burger King, and under that tree is $1 million.
There you go.
Okay. Well, top of the holidays, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Joe.
First of all, I'm running Mac. I've got an old obsolete unit, and I've got a new Mac Mini. And this is going to be dealing with printers and variations of printers and then an all-in-one versus scanner.
Okay.
So the question is, it used to be that if you had a inkjet printer and you didn't use it a lot, and there's a long time between using it, that you would have to clean it out and waste a lot of ink to do that. So the first question is that still the case?
All right. So cleaning the heads on an inkjet printer, right?
Right.
That's the question. Let's start with that.
The case would be determined on what type of printer it is. How old is the printer?
Well, we're talking about, I'm looking at buying one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're looking to which would be the best?
So I've not ever, I have long ago, but in recent history, the last 5, 6, 7 years, I haven't cleaned a head on a printer. But I don't use, I do use the genuine ink cartridges. So if I have an HP, which I do, I use HP cartridges.
I use an Epson R200 that I use for printing on CDs and DVDs. And I may print one every 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I normally just fire the thing up and it runs.
Mm-hmm.
Does it do a cleaning cycle? Yeah, but it doesn't do an intense cleaning cycle like you would do when you really wouldn't need to purge it. So, yeah, you use a little bit of ink in the process of doing that, but that is the nature of all printers, that when you first start them up, if they haven't been started up for a while, with the exception of your monochrome laser printers, they're going to go through that cycle. I use a Tektronix, which is now Xerox, phaser printer, and it uses thermal wax.
Oh, yeah.
And if I don't start it up for a couple of weeks, it will go through a cycle where it will purge that wax through there.
So that's
make
built,
sure it's coming
it's built
clear.
Into it,
right.
yeah.
So, yeah, just the nature of the it's the cost of color.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's automatic, right? And
yes.
you do use a little bit of ink in the automatic process, but you don't have to manually clean the heads anymore.
Right? So there's not a significant cost differential or loss using an inkjet versus a laser.
Well,
wait a minute.
Yeah, we're talking two different things now, yeah, Joe. To answer your question, newer printers don't do what they used to, the big clunky 15-minute clean job. They just don't.
Yeah, and sometimes they didn't work, so you had to do the cleaning the heads yourself. You don't have to do that anymore.
The newer ones are more high-tech. The ink technology is so high-tech now, it's not like it once was. So buying a new printer now, you'd be okay. You don't have to worry about
wasting ink. In terms of the cost between inkjet ink and laser?
And that all depends on what you're printing. You know, are you doing a lot of documents? Are you doing a lot of photos? Are you doing a lot of media?
Well, at this point, not a lot of photos. It would be mostly documents.
Black
well,
and white? Yeah, black. Yeah,
I would suggest that a really nice, happy medium for getting both worlds at an economical price. Take a look at the Brother color laser printers. You can get into a color Brother laser printer for $150.
Wow.
And they're a lot better than I expected them to be. At first, I wasn't a big Brother fan. I've gotten to be more of a Brother fan, and for like $150, you can get a color laser printer, and I think you'll be surprised at the quality that's going to come off that machine.
In our household, the way we work it is that I have the an HP laser printer that I use for cranking out just black, you know, for notes and documents and things like that. So if I'm going to be doing a lot of that, that's the most economical way for me to do it. My wife, on the other hand, next to her desk, she has an HP PhotoSmart, which is a color printer. And we just don't use that very much at all, except for some color printing jobs that we have. So because that cost pictures. $120 when we got it. It was incredible, incredible deal. I use off-brand, by the way. I do not use the manufacturer's cartridges. And I've had no problems whatsoever with that.
Okay, so now the second question is that the question between an all-in-one and just a laser printer, which I have, which is still running fine, and so that it would be a combination of a new scanner and the old laser jet, as opposed to going into an all-in-one.
Mm.
And the scanner that I would be looking for would be one that is fully functional. In other words, it gives me, you know, lots of options as opposed to being very narrow focused in terms of what you can do with it.
I'm thinking that this is a footprint problem, right? If you can afford three or four different machines, you know, what's the harm in that? If one stops working, you don't have to replace everything.
Right.
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 I use the all-in-one. It's just easier.
We started out that way, didn't we? With the HP back in the 2001, I think it was.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the version of it. Anyway, I use the
G35 or something like that.
I use the all-in-one 8600, HP 8600 Office Jet Pro all-in-one today. And I just do it because I have one machine. It prints on both sides. It does everything I want it to. I've had it for three, four years now. Never had a lick of problems with it. It's wireless. I can print from anywhere in the house and just go pick it up. It does not deliver the printed copies to me in the kitchen. I have to go to the study and get them. But other than that, it's great.
Kel?
And for all the things that Gary's talked about, that works perfectly. And in that recommendation, I would go in that particular direction. However,
yep, there's always a however.
If you are,
there is.
If you're someone who does more than just scan an image and then just move that image onto paper, if you scan an image and do photo manipulation, if you scan images and do changes to it, if you scan a lot of images, then you're better off with a separate scanner because you can be more precise with it and that sort of thing. But if you're just going to occasionally scan a document every now and then, maybe even manipulate it a little bit, then for space, economy, and all those sort of things, what Gary is talking about is a great choice to go.
Hey, yeah, Shane, any thoughts?
No, they hit it right on the head.
I've seen.
I was watching. I was listening.
What I've seen, Joe, is that the price
of doing manipulation. That's why I was talking about a really highly functional scanner.
Well, that's, again, what Kel has just said is if you are planning on doing some intense kind of work with a scanner, then you want to have something that is a standalone unit that does a really good job at that.
Yep.
You'll get some very good quality out of the all-in-ones, but it sounds like you want to do far more than that.
Joe, what are you using the scanner for, may I ask?
Well, at this point, I haven't been using a scanner because the one that I had was an old HP that HP stopped providing service for or support for. And so therefore, I haven't been doing any, but I would have done a lot more had I had a scanner usable.
Are we talking about scanning old photos?
Wide variety of things.
Like archival and stuff like that?
That would be part of it, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to want, you'd probably want to get yourself a nice high-end standalone printer that has a high resolution OCR, that'll handle everything.
Yeah, I was looking for something with OCR.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd spend the money. Like we all talked about, you got the information on printers and what you can do there.
Is there much that you can really get for like $150 in a scanner?
Sure.
That fits what I've done.
I think $150 is a good price point on a fairly decent scanner.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember, once you do all those nice archival of all this stuff, and you want to print some of those photos. Then you're getting into some of the, you know, 8-ink print systems with archival ink and paper, and you want to do all that. It's great. It's a great hobby to do, you know. So I enjoy it because it's fun to do.
All right.
So is there a brand that you would recommend in terms of scanners?
Well, you know what? They all when you talk about the big name brand, you know, Epson, Canon, HP, they all Lexmark. They all make a high end scanner,
right?
And $150 is what you would consider
high end. You know what I do every time I go to buy something? I look at the reviews. I look at what people have to say about it.
Yep.
I do a little research before I make the purchase, because then I already know. Oh, this one's got an issue. You know what I mean?
Right. One of the other things I would do, Joe, and thanks so much for your call, was also I go to a place called Rapid Refill in Southfield to do some of the servicing.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them what they would recommend, because they often service these things. And if you go to a place that services them, very often they'll have much more information.
They'll tell you which ones they see a lot of, right?
And by the way, they were talking up the Brothers machines, saying the Brothers machines have come a long way, and that they are not just kind of throwaway machines. Joe, lots of good questions about printers. Hey, we've got 15 minutes left, and that means there's plenty of time for your call, 800-859-0957. Thank you very much for having joined us for these 2 hours of our Internet Advisor. And by the way, if you'd like to go back and listen to any portion of this or the whole program, you simply go to internetadvisor.net, and on Sunday nights I post the podcast. Every week it's there. You may not hear us live on WJR, our flagship station, but our affiliates hear us every week. And for those of you who are in this Detroit area, you can also catch us every week, and starting on Sunday nights, our podcasts are posted there. And you can listen to different, for instance, the second hour of the program, listening to the answers to the technical questions, or you can listen to the first hour of our program and some of the things we talked about there.
Hey, Foster.
Yes?
What about those magical people that bring us out here? Why don't we say thank you to them?
The people who bring us out here.
Those folks.
The people behind the glass. My goodness. Yes, Steve, thank you very much for being there. And Rich and Annie. And there's somebody else who's producing now, too, that I want to thank as well. I don't know who that is. Scott, thank you very much for being here and helping
mystery
us.
Mystery guest.
A mystery guest. We have all sorts of people who have dived in the background here and help us to make this
I'll give you the
possible.
Show back now.
Thank you very much. All right. Let's go back out. And this time we're talking with Curly from Canton. Curly, welcome to the Internet Advisor. And how can we help you?
Hi, I've got a problem with my computer. It's been down for a little while. I keep blowing the power supply.
Mm-hmm.
I've replaced it twice now.
Mm.
Reading online, it's telling me that I could have a capacitor problem.
Correct.
Okay, well, tell us first of all, what is the computer?
Is it a name brand or is it one that you custom built?
I custom built it.
Oh, okay. You custom built it, all right. How old is it?
It's approximately 3 to 4 years old.
Okay, 3 to 4 years.
But old. I upgrade it every so often. So.
You're saying 3 to 4 years old. To me, that shouldn't be, in my opinion, shouldn't be blown caps. I mean, it's a fairly new motherboard. But have you visually inspected the caps?
I've looked at them. I know there's a test that you can perform on them. But no. I haven't really had time to do that.
You know what, Curly? You don't even need to do the test. If you look at the caps and they've bulged or bubbled from the flat, nice top that most of them are, or even some of the newer aluminum caps that are different, you'll see them burst. You'll see them bulge and burst and leak. Get yourself a nice fluorescent or a nice LED flashlight that you can really get in there and inspect them.
Okay.
And look, is your computer normally pretty dusty inside?
No, I clean it Well, I used to clean it every 6 months. It's been down for a good 6-7 months.
I mean, Curly, even though you could, you can do the inspection, as Shane is saying, and you could probably even buy a capacitor kit to replace those capacitors for about $35. For the amount of time it's going to take you to put down, I think it's going to be roughly 22 capacitors, because you're going to replace them all, because they're all going to go bad eventually anyway. You might as well start looking at putting in either a new motherboard or just replacing the computer completely.
I had a feeling you were
going to
say.
Well, let me tell you that replacing those capacitors is not going to be very easy. But Let me ask you this: maybe real quick. We don't have a lot of time, but let's address why are they blowing. You may have a bad outlet socket that's not grounded properly. You may have a bad power strip or surge protector or backup that's not working properly. Maybe you don't have a strong enough power supply. Maybe your board and your video card is eating it alive. Maybe you should have a 700 or 800 watt or an 1100 watt power supply in there.
Okay, because I have an 800 watt power supply.
Yeah,
right, you have now.
You have a nice video card in there.
I have, yes, I do.
Yeah, see, I mean that's minimal. You're at your minimal wattage for a nice video card. Does your video card draw two power plugs?
No, just one.
Just one. Yeah, you know what? Okay. Try. Look at all those things. You know, look at the wall outlet. Look at the surge protector. Look at your power cable. You know, look for the short somewhere.
I know the wall outlets are all fine, okay. but the one thing that I wasn't, actually, you just informed me, so I could go to a higher power supply.
Sure, the higher the better. It's not going to hurt you.
But at any rate, you're going to be buying a new motherboard either way, so while you're there buying that new power supply, you might as well pick that rascal up.
Well, you're a home kidder anyway. I mean, you love this kind of stuff.
Well,
yeah, he also wants a working computer, right?
Exactly.
The thing is, Christmas is coming, and
there you go. See if Santa can get one of those motherboards down the chimney for you.
And you can always listen. You can always bring it to a local computer store and have them visually inspect it for blown caps. It ain't going to cost you nothing.
Right. Well, our home store is Canton Computer, and they're one of the best in the area.
They are good.
So, excellent. Yeah. Great.
Well, listen, thanks for all your help and your information, fellas.
You're welcome. Have a happy holiday.
Have a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Ay, ay, ay. Hi, Bob is calling us from Texas, deep in the heart of Texas. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, I appreciate the call. I called in. I have a Sony Vaio, and I'm running Windows 7. I just have a pesky little problem that every time I start the computer, I get a pop-up from ABG on the security system, and I have something else now. But I can't get rid of this pop-up. All it will let me do is say, remind me later. I try to close it, try to remove it, but I have to deal with it every time. So it's a simple thing, hopefully. So I thought maybe I'd get some help.
Do you have AVG installed on your computer?
You know, I think I may have. I've actually tried to go to remove it. That may be part of the problem. I'd have to double check that.
You have to uninstall it.
Yeah.
You know. So
yes.
Go to add.
Or he can turn it off.
And he could turn it off.
Yeah. And what he could do is I'm sorry, Gary. Go ahead, please. Down on the Windows taskbar, you'll see an AVG icon down there. You can do a right mouse click on that rascal, and then once you do that, a drop down menu will pop up. And then go to the options, and then go to advanced settings, and then under there it'll say display notifications. You can turn that off by unchecking that box. And then after you do that, do as Gary was about to suggest you do, and go into add and remove programs, and just remove AVG from your machine if you have a different antivirus program on there anyway.
Now, what antivirus program are you using?
I am running... you asked me too quick.
That's also, okay. We'll slow down and listen.
Also, by the way, if Cal was talking quickly, because I couldn't write that fast, but you can go back and listen to our podcast the show, and you can stop it, you know, write it down, stop it a little more, check what he's saying, do what he's saying, and then go, you know, start it again and listen a little bit more. So it actually, you know, you can follow him step by step.
You had a thought?
Oh, they hit it. They did a very good job again. See, no, but you know, another thing you might want to add is sometimes AVG is known for this. The uninstall process will corrupt out, and you'll have to grab the uninstall tool from AVG's website.
Right.
That tends to strip it out really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of the AVG stuff. You don't want anything on there.
Unfortunately, it used to be one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that you can get, first of all, you've got to have security. And Windows 7 in particular works marvelously well with Microsoft Security Essentials. Free from Microsoft. You can download
that.
But
you've got to make sure it's turned on.
Yes. Yeah, you make sure it's turned on. But the thing is, make sure you've got security on that. You know, you've got some. But don't run. You don't want to run two of them at the same time. By the way, where are you calling from in Texas?
Down by Laredo. I'm on the iHeartRadio listening to WJR. It makes me feel like I'm at home.
So beautiful.
I love it.
Wonderful. Well, my sister's down not too far from there.
From the Big D to Laredo, thank you very much for being with us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for helping. All right. Take care. And Elaine, you hang on. We'll get you, when the program closes, we'll get off on the other side and help you with your problem. If you have a question during the week, simply go to internetadvisor.net, click on the Contact Us button, and we'll handle your problem during the week. Thanks so much for being here with us. Next week, we hope to be back with you again from 4 until 6 here on WJR 760 AM in Detroit. For you listening to us on our affiliates, we'll see you folks on the flip side coming up this next week. And for the rest of you, our podcast will be available starting on Sunday night. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great holiday season. You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.